All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Okay, this week I took a look at the Rolodex, my old Rolodex from my days in Hollywood.
Okay.
You know? And I was taking, when somebody does something horrible in this, yeah. I give them a little red.
Okay, just a little frowny face.
Yeah, a little frowny face, you know, the Cosby face. Mm-hmm. And then if somebody does something like, I'm like, that sucks, but like, I give them a little yellow, like neutral hair razor.
Okay.
You know, the Thomas Middleditch.
Right. You know? The Aziz Ansari zone. Like,
yes, the Aziz Ansari zone.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about how, you know, celebrities end up being movies. Movies make games and everything. Let's just flip through this bad boy.
Okay. You know, just give it a spin. I fucking love spinning a Rolodex. It's such a satisfying little thing.
It's really satisfying, and nobody listening to this knows what a Rolodex is.
Nope.
So let's give this a real quick. Oh shit, we landed in big time red.
Uh-oh, what do we have? I don't recognize a lot of the characters on this.
James Franco.
Oh fuck.
Fuck. Was there a Freaks and Geeks game?
No, there was not an 112263 or Pineapple Express game. Fuck.
There's a Franco game, though, it looks like.
Okay. All right.
This isn't a game.
Wait.
Look at the cover. This is a kid's comic book.
No, it's Franco, the Crazy Revenge.
The Crazy Revenge. My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, where we're cheaper than Cameo. I hope you have a great birthday, Casey.
They beat us. They found the loophole. And this week we're talking about a game called Franco, the Crazy Revenge. Gary, would you believe me if I told you that this is the crown jewel of Polish gaming?
I do.
Yeah.
Would anybody listening to this, looking at this cover, believe that this is like a 4,000-word Wikipedia article?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the national pride, and they have documented it a lot. And that's very surprising when you play the game.
Very much so. I did learn after I played the version that I played that it was not the the primary one. I went to the DOS version as opposed to the Amiga version. Apparently the Amiga version fixes all of the problems that I had.
That's not true.
No, like, not at all. No.
Everyone says that about Amiga games. Like you get the Amiga and they're like, there's no such thing as pretty good for Amiga back in the day, especially in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't think it solved all the problems, even though it did get a perfect 10 from like Poland's number one video game magazine.
Yeah.
Like, that's bleak.
Very bleak is the thing.
This is the most homemade fucking game I've ever seen. Like,
yeah, it has really big, like, we've done a couple of these, like DOS, Amiga, Micro PC, like, what was it, like Purple Saturn Day or like whatever the one was with the big guy with the gut that was a mouth.
Tongue of the Fat Man.
Yeah. Like there have been a few that like were homemade that had the headcount on the devs to look like this.
Yes. Yeah. To me, the story of Franco the Crazy Revenge is a dad lives in Poland and he loves his kids very much.
Mm-hmm.
But business hasn't been good lately. He's not getting his Christmas bonus.
No.
So instead of going out and buying them a video game, he goes to the garage to make one.
Hmm.
And he gets out his welder and his cap and everything and then comes out with this.
See, that's why your Atari cartridge didn't work. All that exactly. stuff is inside.
Yeah. So you're Amiga. Yeah. So one thing that is impeccable about this, though, is the soundtrack. Soundtrack fucks.
The soundtrack, I laughed out loud when I dropped into it and it was just E1M1.
Yeah. It's good though.
Yeah.
It's really U1M one. Yeah. And with just like slightly different instrumentation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. You know what? Why mess with success?
Why mess with success? Your characters are really weirdly stiff.
Uh-huh. Everybody's really weirdly stiff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you go and you do really bad beat 'em up.
Extremely bad, extremely slow beat 'em up. And there's something about the motion in this and also the way things are animated and drawn that really just, it strips all the illusion away. And here you have a beat 'em up that is just a guy getting the shit kicked out of him in the street.
Yeah, it's kind of Todd Phillips's Joker, the beat 'em up a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. It's a real, like, also, for nobody around, I didn't say this out loud, but if I had, this would have been an embarrassing moment of me playing this and just saying for no one in particular, hit detection, I don't know her. You know, and I didn't do that because that's a little too sassy.
Why would
that's
you?
Kinda like Sex in the City, you know? But I did think about it.
Okay, so if you had that near miss right there, why would you go in public in front of thousands of people and say, hey, I had this near miss, everybody?
Because embarrassment isn't something I feel.
Okay.
In a general sense. I'm kind of done with embarrassment.
Okay, all right.
You know, what's up with embarrassment? Like, that's no good.
Okay.
You know, if nobody who's going to judge it is worth it. And that's real, like, mom consoling a kid that got made fun of at school.
Yeah.
Coded. But, you know, maybe mom was cooking with that.
Maybe. Like,
I don't know. Yeah. Nobody's thinking about you that much. People will forget about it.
Hit detection. Never met her.
Never met her. I don't know her.
Uh-huh. No. Yeah. No.
Look at nails emoji. So dancing woman emoji. Sassy.
Yeah,
emoji.
And also this is one of those games where like it feels like if you're doing just like the regular punch or whatever, somehow the hitbox doesn't extend beyond your character's footprint.
No, yeah, it's just you create an aura of punch.
Yeah,
like you're punching with your breath or something.
Mm-hmm.
The other weird thing about this is really vulgar.
Yeah.
Specifically in Polish when you play it, but even one of the samples really sounds like one of the guys goes fuck off. And he does it constantly. Like it's just like going, fuck off.
There's also a shitload of blood in this as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of rules.
Uh-huh.
Like you know, really hard to play. yeah.
It's hard to play, but like the entire vibe is quite frankly immaculate to me.
Yes. It really makes me like a band should make a music video that's basically this.
Yes.
And they will kick ass. Mm-hmm. It's really dated in a way that's really cute.
Yeah.
I didn't get this far, but I was reading about it and watching a Let's Play. At some point you find an advertisement, a billboard for RoboCop 3. Like, come on.
You know, I just want to flip a little coin to that particular organization. Figured RoboCop 3 needed it.
Speaking of.
Okay.
A few episodes ago, we were talking about Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yes.
And you brought up Robo Wants an Oreo, which I had seen, but I hadn't seen in a long time.
Okay.
And I rewatched it and we didn't dine on it, but that is a really great, like if people don't know that, I wanted to underline it as public service. Yeah. I kind of scooted past it at the time because there was probably a Farmer Wants a Wife thing that I talk about, but I rewatched Robo Wants an Oreo.
I'm tired really of hearing about the fucking Oreos.
I just, you know, no, Peter. Peter can have an Oreo, but it's just you and me. Robo doesn't exist. Like, if you're like an Oreo, I will give you one. It's incredible. Just absolutely incredible.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's also a thing. Like that's a bit that has been McElroy squatted.
What?
You know?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dastards. People, they die.
That's why I wasn't surprised that you just that you breezed right past it. Like I literally did not throw that out there hoping you would bite and we could dine on it. That was more just me matching the tone.
Yeah, it's the same cadence of sentence.
The rhythm. Yeah.
Yeah. It is disappointing to me that the McElroys have dined on that.
Yep.
I am sick of their sloppy seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently one of the selling points for this game, is that in the Amiga version, has these big, like, like single image backgrounds that were lovingly done. And it like does represent the city that it takes place in. Session, maybe? Mm. Man, I'm hopeless at Polish stuff. I'm so sorry.
There's a follow-up for this, spiritual sequel called Domen Greki Ardana. Love Domen. I don't know. Other languages are great. Yeah. That one's kind of like a Conan the Barbarian thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So well, it's like, what if Franco went back in time?
The follow-up that came out in 2023 here.
The new one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's not the one that you're talking about?
No. I was talking about the actual spiritual successor to this.
Oh, okay.
Came out in Poland.
That came out in Poland. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm referring to Skinny and Franco, Fists of Revenge.
Yes. Fist of Violence.
Fist of Violence. There we go.
It says Fist of, that's another project. There's also Return of Revenge, I think.
Uh-huh. Okay. then Vengeance is Return.
Yeah, I love it.
Revenge of Blood.
Yeah, Revenge of Return of the Fist.
Referring to Frank of the Fist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gwenos for Thank Our Produce. It's an immaculate vibe. It's impossible to play. I don't have the DNA to like force myself to play really, really bad games.
Yeah.
Just because they're kind of funny. I don't have that YouTube gene, you know, but this makes me kind of wish I did.
I went as far as I could. I went until I ran out of lives and I was like, I feel like I've got the gist of this. That was the point where I was being beaten up by what appeared to be high school girls in karate geese.
Yeah. Past the cops when like all of a sudden after like countless, you know, murders, the cops show up and you murder them.
It does keep track of how many people you have killed. So you are beating people.
I have that in common with this game.
Yeah.
Right at zero.
You are beating people to death with your bare hands.
Yeah.
And you do look a little bit like Nathan Explosion.
The Wikipedia has a great detail on this, is that they had to scale this way back. The dev's original ambition had this on 12 floppy disks. I love that. Yay! In so many ways. Like one, you know, that's a great idea. Uh-huh. Like you just get the 12 floppy disk version of this. But two, what would they add? Like just longer corridors? Like you just walk to the right and punch things in this.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing else.
Maybe just more like enemy assets. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't 12, know.
12 floppies. That's not a lot of data, but like, I don't know. By the time that I was playing PC games, like when we got our first one, like a PC game came on like maybe 3 or 4 floppies load it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably, they want to make this 3 times bigger.
Yeah.
But not 3 times. I don't know what they would add. It's weird.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. The Steam page for Skinny and Franco Fists of Violence is a little concerning. Brutal next chapter of Amiga's legendary beat 'em up, Franco the Crazy Revenge, is here. It's time to clean the streets of shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That has connotations possibly.
Yeah. Also very clearly not written by somebody whose first language is English, but the sentiment still kind of flashy.
It's got a real Flash animation look to it.
Yeah.
Like not unpleasingly, there's a demo, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
I like how everything has a drop shadow.
Yeah. I don't know. I've turned around on this. It's got very positive reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get to see what Franco's been up to. You know, I hope Franco aged in real time.
I see somebody who looks like Franco in this, and he looks exactly the same.
Mm. Yeah, Franco is ageless. Like there is no age, no beginning and no end to Franco.
Yeah, Franco is in the big painting or the big photograph at the end of The Shining.
As a colorblind person, I tend not to notice or comment on colors.
Yes,
the cover of this game, I imagine adding what looks to me like primarily the palette of piss was not like, is not the best choice for this. Doesn't it look like Frank, like you could tell me this is green and cause I don't know colorblind, but it looks like his shirt is piss and he is covered with piss. He's dipped his elbow in piss.
Yeah.
It looks like Franco has been rolling around in a yellow highlighter of piss.
So with my cones and rods, my cones, so that like there is green here, but it is a very pissy green. Okay. Like primarily his like shirt or tank top or whatever it is beneath his rockin' vest.
Yeah.
Is like glowing radioactive piss green.
Okay. And then what's his, on his elbow?
That does look like piss to my cones.
Yeah. And his fingers. It looks like he was like he grabbed a sphere of piss and crushed it triumphantly and it dripped down his elbow.
Eventually he started beating up piss elementals from the elemental plane of piss.
Yeah. Water balloons filled with piss
that
you just crush like your enemies.
Yeah.
You know,
I do love when you can like get especially like cognates, but just by looking at written language, because there is a little call out star on here with the text, three disky placat. Three disc game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three discs in that bad boy. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like even just on when you're playing the game, like Energia. What the hell is that? You know, that is one of the most useful Simpsons things ever is Legrill. I know that all the time.
It is incredibly useful. I feel crazy every time I describe a bit as useful.
Yeah.
I find that to be true about bits, often about Simpsons stuff because of brain, but also just like anything, we're just like, oh, this introduces a really valuable concept that there's a bunch of stuff maps to, right?
There's that Star Trek The Next Generation episode about that where they meet the alien race that only talks in that kind of shit. Where like, and Picard has to like learn to speak with them, and all he does is say like examples of things.
Yeah.
So their entire language, he's like Darmok and Drod at Tanagra. And in his culture, that meant like two people alone in a place, surviving.
Yeah.
And they have to work together. So they just say the story, the name of the story. And they're like, that's what the situation we're in.
Okay.
It's kind of like this happened to my friend Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would just like, you'd look at Jim. Jim would get beat the shit out of him, go insane and kill Robert De Niro. And you'd be like, Joker, Todd Phillips Joker. And everyone would know exactly what you meant.
Everybody would. Okay. Yeah. No. I wasn't aware of that Star Trek, that Star Trek thing, but like I do find myself wanting to say, not only is this bit very good, it is very useful. Think the Tim Robinson hot dog suit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Same thing. This happens with tweets too. Like sometimes like the centrist rally, I think about that, you know, sometimes jokes are effective shorthand.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and it's probably maddening to people who don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know.
You know?
Part of the way you talk is, you know, drawing certain people in and pushing certain people out.
Yeah. It's true.
If you're not on my wavelength, get the fuck out.
It's true.
Not what I think.
Yeah. Can I tell you about an update on my friend's kids who are really great?
Yes, you may.
So they did the battle butter. Made of dishonored soldiers or what have you. And they do a haunted house every year.
Okay. Oh, has this happened?
This has happened. I went last weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Cause like, I know that you had brought up that they were doing a haunted house, but I kind of forget what the concept was.
Well, this one has a concept. So this is the first year with a concept.
Okay.
These kids are speed running, like kicking ass.
Okay.
In a way that is troubling. Like the ape in Rampage, like they're growing in coolness at a rate that you shouldn't.
We're losing our edge. Yes.
So this year, the theme was, and it's all like DIY shit, you know, some stuff from Spirit of Halloween, like secondhand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but this year the theme was Danny's or Granny's daycare.
Oh, shit. I recognize that phrase.
Good, good theme. Two really effective, like automated scares.
Ooh.
In it, and some like really good like direction, like so one when you're walking down, and this is a basement haunted house, you know. Okay. So you're walking through walls of sheets and shit. But they do a thing where a little doll on a tricycle rolls out, but instead of having it roll out, they have its shadow projected up against the sheet. Kind of large, you know, kind of like the Vulcan Raven thing in Metal Gear 2. Solid 2. So that was really cool. You know, don't know how they did it. It just, you know, rolled by at the time. And then the end of it, though, you walk up a long hallway where Granny is sitting in a rocking chair that is rocking in front of a TV. And Granny is a scary old lady, of course. Okay. The TV is just showing like looping static and stuff.
Yay!
And you get a long walk to it. Like they don't have a huge footprint in their basement, but like you get it a long time to dread it. And to your right, there is something under a crocheted blanket. And you don't get to know what it is. There's just kind of like a lump that's not quite the shape of a person under a crocheted blanket. It's really good.
Oh, man.
And I was like talking to this kid. I was like, that, you know, I go to haunted houses and stuff. Like, that kicks ass.
This
like,
is high.
You don't oftentimes have a like room to breathe.
Yeah.
You know? No,
perfect.
Really good.
Yeah, that rules. So like, I'm happy to hear you say, like, I don't know how they did it, because I could see a kid. Well, I don't know. Either it could go either way. Either like, okay, you go through it, you say it's amazing, and the kid would be like very enthusiastic to say, like, to talk about all the work that they did. But mm-hmm. like, if somebody's coming up, you know, at this age with Granny's daycare, mm-hmm. I think that they might want to like hold on to their secrets. I think that they might want to maintain the mystique. So did it occur to you to ask? Did you like decide not to?
I didn't really think about that. I wasn't wondering about it. I was just like, oh, that's cool. Like, mm-hmm. you know, probably something. I was complimenting him. I was more blown away by the artistry than that. And it was also a Halloween party where all their friends came and all their friends' parents came.
Oh, okay.
So it was huge. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. get very much FaceTime with the star, weirdly enough.
Oh, that's pretty great.
Yeah. Really cool. Good work, kids. You know, I wish we'd left better shit for you. sucks that this is the world we left for you.
Yeah,
man,
sorry.
Because you'd kick ass.
Sorry about all of it. That long walk up to Granny does remind me of the first year we went to Terror Town or whatever mm-hmm. it was that used to be really good. And then Fright Town. Yeah. It used to be really good. And then they changed it and like got new owners and then it was really bad. But there was that just we were walking like through an interstitial space and there were like two teen girls walking the opposite way, like with their phone open, like in this clearly boring, haunted house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like they were leaving like halfway through, you know, walked past us, but that distracted us just enough for a jump scare right away to hit us.
Yeah.
Like how high concept that would be.
I miss them. Like my favorite haunted houses have room to breathe.
Yeah.
I watched a YouTube thing about the economics of haunted houses.
Okay.
You know, just cause it was, you know, YouTube served it to me and I was like, I wonder how this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how do you do a business where you get to run for 4 weeks a year?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they talked about it and it was boring business stuff mostly, but, they had a lot of behind the scenes stuff for about like throughput. You know, a lot of behind the scenes things of the coach telling people how to move people
through.
And it kind of bummed me out because I was like, all I want from a haunted house is to be in the space.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think that there is a hole in the market for like macabre house. Like we've made Leviathan House.
Yeah.
You get to tour it as an immersive experience. It's not a thing on tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Just come here and look at these fucking tableaus.
Yeah.
Find the spooky clues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. Let's just giving a haunted house an open circulatory system.
Yeah. Kind of like an open kitchen,
you
know,
yeah.
Haunted house. And then also you'd have to charge more because you couldn't get like the way that they make money is they push people through at an insane rate.
It's a conveyor belt.
Yeah. You know, they just get, you know, that is the only way it economically makes sense. If I was a deranged billionaire, I would love to, like, maybe I get a different house and I turn the house I live in now into Leviathan House. Probably not a reference to Hellraiser 10 or whatever, but like some kind of cool house.
Yeah.
Prefix house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beware prefix house.
And it would have to be like you booked by the hour or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, you would have
exactly.
to think.
You get an hour to explore. And then we do an hour to reset, kind of like an escape room. And maybe there's some minor puzzles or like a meta story or something like that. But it's not primarily about puzzles.
What you're describing is a live theater kind of experience, right?
It's like that, but I would not want there to be a storyline happening with actors around you. I think that I want the primary storytelling and atmosphere to come from the guest looking around at stuff.
Right, the shit. And like maybe there's a monster in a room that'll chase you out if you don't meet the right conditions, or if you're in there for too long. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you touch the things you're not supposed to touch.
Mm-hmm.
A guy in a suit comes and is like, "I'm the monster prefix house.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna have to ask you to leave."
You kind of lied to this. I'm just kind of curious. Was Granny an actual person, or was Granny a dummy?
Granny was a dummy, but okay. Granny was like a rubber mask of an old lady, but they also added eyeballs, and one of them was off, like very intentionally.
Yeah.
It looked good.
Okay.
You know, and the chair rocking automatically added a lot to making Granny seem alive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Good shit.
Yeah. No, we were talking about this kid if he keeps it up, what kind of bright future there is.
It is an ever-growing super kid. Mm-hmm. Like, it is this weird, I feel like I'm on the ground floor of somebody who is going to be a prodigy of some kind. He's just, a lot of interest, all of which I was talking to him about the haunted house. And I was like, hey, the things you're engaging with in this are game design.
Yeah.
If that was ever interesting to you, like the pacing, the directing people and stuff, like you're doing level design through this. And he's just like, yeah.
Cool. Okay. I know that, dummy.
Yeah. I know that, you fucking idiot. I have 1,000 interests and this is just one of them. Get off my dick.
Yeah.
Uncle Gary. And I was like, fuck.
Okay. Well,
yeah, hand me my ass.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm really just happy that you let me talk to you.
Yeah. Sorry, sir. I'll do better next time, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Yeah. It was good stuff. I got to see a lot of kids in costumes. Cute.
What's the predominant... we're recording this like the day before Halloween. What's the predominant mode of kid costumes now?
I know there are a lot of K-pop demon hunters.
Okay.
Out there. I saw several things I didn't recognize and then overheard that phrase a lot, which, so if I see something I don't recognize, I assume it is K-pop.
Yeah.
Demon hunters now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were also like a smattering of like semi-obscure, kind of hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then a smattering of just like firemen.
Okay.
These are fairly young kids. The deepest pull was a family went as the characters from Marvel's Hawkeye TV show. The two Hawkeyes, absolutely iconic. The two Hawkeyes and then two members of the Tracksuit Mafia, the goons.
Okay.
From that, I was blown away. I was like, that's weird. Like, I liked that show, but just me.
Was that based on the My Life as a Weapon? Is that what that was?
Yeah. It, when he meets the young Hawkeye, it's vaguely based on it.
Okay, vaguely based on the Matt Fraction one. Sorry, yeah. Whenever I see something I recognize, I need to cite it specifically so I get get a little Gary trophy.
Yeah, get the dopamine for the comic thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is from that. It is more or less from that comic. Okay. That comic infuriates me a little bit because both Hawkeyes are just called Hawkeye.
Oh yeah,
that's a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
That's a little bit much. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the most obscure poll, but mostly like K-pop demon hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did the thing where they put their face through the Mona Lisa, so they had a big picture frame, and it looked like an ergonomic nightmare. Like they had to reach around a big picture frame.
Oh yeah, that's terrible.
To put things in their mouth, like to have a snack.
God, no good. You don't want to go to a. I mean, if you're trick or treating or whatever, that can be fine. But you don't want to go to a party with a costume that you have to circumvent. You don't want to walk in, make your impression, and then. Put on a modified version in order to actually interact at the party.
It pops up with cosplay all the time. Yeah. You look at cosplay and somebody's made like a 10-foot tall Galactus, and it's cool and everything, but you can't walk through a big crowd with that.
No.
You're just going to bump into everybody.
I need to ask you a question here. On their Mobi Games page, did you see what the first game the studio made was?
I did not.
Okay. I'm going to put a link to it in the Slack just so you do not have to go searching for it. It is called Street Hassle.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's I know a clone. That expression from something.
It's a clone of a Beam Software game called Street Hassle. but it is done kind of in their in the studio's style. I need you to look at these screenshots.
Oh yeah, it's a Lou Reed album.
Oh,
is a Street Hassle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's homemade. That's paint. This is paint to me.
Okay, so
when you see the actual body, the little guy is great when he stands up.
The little guy is awesome, yeah.
Yeah, those are good proportions. With close-ups on his face, I wasn't that impressed with, but
the guy standing on his standing next to his bed with a stick figure drawn, and just "fuck" written on the wall behind him.
Yeah. I like that a lot. The game over screen is really powerful. Did you see that? With him dead in front of a gigantic garbage can with two old people bodybuilders menacing him and the word "boys" in graffiti in the background.
Wait, oh gosh, there are more of them. Sorry, I did not see the game over screen.
No, you gotta go through the game. I think for a second I thought this was a remake of Bad Street Brawler.
Yeah.
Yeah, a game I have a history with, but they just kind of made it good.
Let me see. Where's the game? Okay, here's the game over. Why are they old, Gary?
I don't know. It's scarier.
They're skeletal.
Yeah, like skeletal, but they're also really muscular.
Uh-huh.
Like they look like, they're like muscle-bound old people who have 0% body fat.
Literal jerky boys.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Aged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Beechwood aged. Chef-inspired old people.
Sorry.
I always forget about Moby Games. I tried to click to the dev on Wikipedia, and it goes to Wikipedia Polish.
Oh, okay.
Wolna Encyclopedia.
Hmm. I've got just a set of like a folder that I can open and do a bunch of tabs with all the places I usually go: Cutting Room Floor, TV Tropes, all of that. And Moby Games is in there. That's how I do like the what else did they make that was like this kind of stuff?
I see.
Seems
like a reasonable way to do it.
It does, yeah. Sorry, I was looking because I was like, I said TV Tropes and they don't have anything really about this. It's just people being very serious, people very seriously documenting this very good game.
Yeah. Big graffiti that just says "fuck you" in huge letters. I respect this a lot. Like,
I really do.
Yeah. This is one of the games I've most respected that we've done on this show.
Mm-hmm.
All of these screenshots would make a great, like, anything. Like, literally anything.
Apparently,
did you see the winning screen? Oh my God.
On Street Hassle or?
Yeah, on Street Hassle. I'm the daddy. It's the 48th screenshot.
Yeah.
Like, describe that for the audience. We're up on time, but describe that.
Yeah. So, Franco. This isn't Franco, this is Street Hassle, but still Franco, sits on this what appears Lou Reed. To be, okay, Lou Reed sits on a throne of stone, very bored. Like, this is clearly like him being My Blue Heaven.
Yes.
One of the old jerky boys lies prostrate at his feet.
That's the jerky lady, I think.
Okay. It's like, the jerky lady laying prostrate at his feet.
It looks a little like Andy Warhol, but there's kind of a boob.
Holding forward what appears to be a poisoned martini. It is bubbling. It is bubbling with red. There appears to be a child or a little person with a quagmire head standing on the arm of the throne, holding up an umbrella, acting as a parasol in this case, to keep Franco in the shade because they are on one of those little New Yorker islands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I assume this person with the quagmire face was another BDSM old person.
Okay.
Like, there's big BDSM energy with all of the black and little white dots.
Yeah.
Look like spikes. Like, they all look like they're, what's her head? Rosie O'Donnell from East of Eden. My primary reference for BDSM.
Oh my God.
The D in BDSM stands for Dan Aykroyd.
Ooh, I don't understand why the one holding up the umbrella has the body proportions of the kid who jumped in a vat of acid because he loved the band Titanica.
Yeah, because of Bad Street Brawler. They had to map these onto Bad Street Brawler's weird proportions, except they gave them big exaggerated heads. What can people do if they like this show?
If people like this show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us a few bucks a month and get a bunch of bonus content and help us continue doing the shows that we do.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it. You get a lot of bonus stuff, and it literally keeps our lights on. And we need lights to podcast.
We do.
The computer that I use to podcast requires electricity.
For now.
Yeah, for now. Cold fusion. You can also tell your friends. You can leave ratings or reviews. Talk about us on message boards and stuff. We appreciate that. We don't advertise.
Yeah.
And you can join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. Before I go to the outro, this was put into the suggestion machine by Frank, saying I think you should try some games from Poland. You're not hiding anything, Frank. We know who you are.
We know what you. It's so great, you know.
And until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, the only podcast that is a duet of pleasures.